miles of barbed wire. I got a cobra snake for a necktie. A brand new house out on the roadside, and it's made out of rattlesnake hide. Got a brand new gin that baby built on top, and it's made out of human skull. Come on, take a little walk with me, baby, and tell me, who do you love? Who do you love?
Well, thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show, and we are broadcasting today from the U.S. Airways Center in Phoenix, Arizona, the home of the Arizona Rattlers of the Arena Football League. This is game one of the postseason for the Rattlers. They are playing the Spokane Shock for round one of the playoffs leading up to the Arena Bowl. Now, the Rattlers are a three-time champ of the Arena Bowl, which is the highest honor for arena football. I have the privilege of covering them periodically for local media, and I sat down today to record with Chris Presson, the president of the team, and we talked about his time. This is his first year with the Rattlers, but his short time here in Phoenix, as well as his time as the president and GM of the Arizona Sun Dogs, a hockey team of the CHL, the now defunct CHL, that I was associated with for about, was it 6 or 7 years as their team photographer and working with their media folks. Chris came down when the Sun Dogs went dark last season in Prescott Valley, and came down and took the position here with the Rattlers, bringing with him the person that I was in contact with most, Miss Ashley Stovall, who was the media and assistant general manager, and she was the media person for a while with the Sun Dogs. That's who I dealt with on a day-to-day basis with the Sun Dogs, and since they both landed here at the Rattlers' Snake Pit, as they call the U.S. Airways Center, I have been doing some work with them in conjunction with my buddy Matt Hinshaw, who actually has the team contract here, but we work in conjunction on a lot of projects, this being one of them, and I've been able to help out Matt a couple of times, and we'll be doing so tonight. But I wanted to sit down with Chris just to touch base, because I know a lot of folks up in Prescott and Prescott Valley know Chris and his family, Tracy, his wife, and their kids, as well as Ashley. So we wanted to get an update on what they've been doing, talk about the Rattlers and their quest for another ring. And I hope you enjoy it. I'm not really sure what episode this is, because we recorded a couple this week. I don't know where this one's going to fall in the mix, so I won't tell. It's either 35, 36, something like that. I'm not positive, but check us out, milehighshow.com. We launch every Monday on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher, and then check out the Rattlers at azrattlers.com for info on the remaining postseason games. They're playing Spokane today. Then if they win, we'll go on to the San Jose Sabercats in my old stomping grounds of San Jose, California. And we'll see what happens after that. But azrattlers.com is a great spot to go for info on 2016 season tickets, merchandise, and all that good stuff. They share space here at U.S. Airways Center, the Snake Pit, with the Phoenix Suns. They are the main tenant here for the NBA, as well as the WNBA, I think it's the Mercury, and there's a couple other functions for this arena. But right now it is decked out in teal and black for the Arizona Rattlers. So hopefully they'll come out with a W tonight, and we may be back here to talk football, or at least maybe in the off season, talk about how to score some free swag for myself. And no, just for me. I just want free stuff for me. I guess that's it's all about me. That's why I have the microphone. So sit back and enjoy my talk with Chris Presson. So how you liking it? We just jump right in. We have no structure on this.
It's been really good. Been a nice change. More than anything, our family is good and happy, and our kids are in school and happen to like their schools. And so, yeah, I can't complain.
Now, it took you a little bit. You were doing the commute for a little while, huh?
Yeah, I commuted for 3 months. That was a little rough. So by Friday, I was an absolute zombie. But Monday through Thursday, I had good energy. But, yeah, that's, I mean, with the traffic, it was 2 hours in, 2 hours to get home. Yeah. So I was leaving at 4 a.m. to get here at 6, working 6 to 6, leaving here at 6 to get home at 8, and then doing my reports when I got home, and just enough time to close my eyes and get back up and do it all over again.
Yeah. Run, give me a little recap, the Reader's Digest 90-second version of your bio, how you ended up in Arizona to begin with.
Wow, that's lengthy. You know what? I had a great
professor. I got a lot of time on that card, so
okay.
We're good.
I had a great professor in college that forced us to get an internship, and I happened to get an internship with a guy that had become the new general manager of a brand-new hockey team at the time in Oklahoma City in 1992. The long and short of it is I got an internship, got my first full-time job there, and was the GM of the team 5 years later. So from that point, I became this quasi, hey, Chris, can you start my business guy. So I did that for about 10
kind
years.
Kind of the go-to guy to get it up and running.
Yeah, to get it up and running. I was the guy that you would parachute in the middle of nowhere with no team name, no team colors, no coach, no players, no nothing. And I would start the business from scratch. I love to do that. And then somehow my next 10 years I became the Chris, can you fix it guy. So I would parachute into a city and I would try and fix problems that had been created by others. So,
now, what level teams are we talking about? The Oklahoma hockey, what
yeah,
league was that with?
All AA hockey teams. You know, I did USBL basketball for a year, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, of all people, was my head coach, won a championship there. But from that, I started in Oklahoma City. I went from Oklahoma City to Topeka, Kansas, to start that team brand new. I left there after 2 years to go to New Haven, Connecticut, where I started that team, was there for a year, had a chance to go back to Oklahoma City, take over as the GM. I did that, was there for 3 years, had a chance to go back to Topeka because the hockey team had gone out of business and I had to restart it. Then I went from there to Wichita, became an arena manager in Wichita after the baseball and hockey teams, then ended up in Quad City and up in Prescott Valley with the Sun Dogs, and now here. So it's been a quick 23 years.
Now, was everything you were doing, I'm just powering that off real quick, I forgot, so it doesn't chirp at me later. Everything that you were doing from college on, all sports related, were pretty much with the management of teams?
Except for 2 years I was an arena manager. So the 2 years I managed an arena was Interest Bank Arena in Wichita, so I took it from literally a dirt pad to a $184 million building through the first 6 months of the building. And then I had another building across town that was 10,000 seats that I was mothballing on behalf of the county at the same time.
But was that your goal to be in like sports management?
I'm a complete sports freak. Like every sport, like to watch every sport, like to play every sport. So was a sports freak when I was 5, and I'm still a sports freak at almost 50. So, you know, I wanted to do something like we all do that I enjoyed, and I was fortunate to get into the business. It just happened to be hockey, which I never played. And so having spent 20, 21 years in the hockey business, 2 years as an arena manager, and then these one-off events along the way with the basketball team, and I've done some tennis and golf events. I taught school for 2 years while I was working. So all in all related to sports.
So your reputation and your skills of, you said you reached a point where you were kind of the fix-it guy. Mm-hmm. Is that something that at the minor league levels, is that something, it seems like, now let me finagle my tongue a little bit. I've worked with several different organizations. That's how we met up in Prescott Valley with the Sun Dogs. And I've seen some levels where you have some dynamite talent. You've got dynamite folks behind the scenes. You've got great fan support and everything. But there's still a lot of times where from players to administrators to front office, it's kind of a stop ground type thing.
Sure.
It's a ladder as you're getting up to higher levels and stuff. Does that play a role in trying to keep the organization running good? And how does that, how hard is it to hold on to good folks from staff to players and everything else?
You know, it's really hard. I was in a meeting, we have a partnership with the Phoenix Suns on varying levels, and I was in a meeting with a couple of the higher ups, my owner, and some sales staff the other day, and we were talking about just that, that from a sales perspective, we know that the young salespeople we have aren't going to be here forever because they have higher aspirations. They're young. For me, it was relatively the same. I had aspirations to be in the NHL, to be in MLB, to be in the NFL, but as I got older, I realized that I had a lot of friends that had gone that route, and they didn't like it because there's a lot of turnover at that level too. So probably 15 years ago, I became content with just being me and being Mr. Minor League. And so from a manager's perspective, it's the same with your coworkers at that level. They all have aspirations, and it's a matter over about a five-year period if they keep those aspirations and they continue to build toward that, or they finally go, you know what, I like it here, I'm going to stay here, I'm in a good spot, the grass isn't always greener. And so a part of my early career was the grass is always greener on the other side, and I took some opportunities to go work for some people that were great, but then when I got there, I realized, you know what, I just left a better spot. So as I got older, I had to mature a little bit and realize that.
I see that in my dealings at the local media level with, small-town politics. Mm-hmm. Prescott, while Prescott is the major hub of our area up there in your former hometown of Prescott and Prescott Valley, it's still a small town. It's, you know, not that big when compared to bigger metro areas, Phoenix, L.A., things like that. And I've talked with some of the politicians, some of the mayors, the council members and things, and they're thinking, well, we can go statewide level, some seeking national office and things. And I've talked to a few that have advanced up to the big leagues of politicos and things, and they kind of say the same thing. You know, I wanted to move up, but I was getting a lot more done at the local level. It was a chance for them to really explore their ideas, their goals, see their plans come to fruition rather than getting caught up in a bigger wheel. Just
that's
being
a good
a smaller
point.
Column.
That's a real good point, and that's what I like. I like the smaller details. I like the more hands-on approach. I like to be involved in a lot of different things. But by the same token, I like to give my coworkers the autonomy to grow. And So that being said, that's a really good point. And I think you just get to a point where you realize, you know what, where I am is a pretty good place. Yeah. And that's what I like about here. I mean, Phoenix to me is a real big small town. And I feel like it functions like that. I feel like it's relatively easy to integrate yourself, assuming you're willing to put the time and energy in. And we have an owner that gives me the autonomy to do my job, which I also like. But by the same token, he's not afraid to give me a little guidance every now and then as well.
Yeah. When you were with the Sundogs, that was one I had such a ball working with the organization, working with the players, working with the fans. One of the downsides of hockey in the desert is trying to establish that fan base. We weren't able to get the crowds that we wanted. You guys did so many things trying to get the fans fired up, and we had a core of really, really diehard Sundog fans up there, hockey fans, but it was a small, loyal group. Talk about some of the things you did personally to try and get these folks. What's popping in my head was one of the last big pushes you guys did.
You know, it's funny you ask that, and you're right on. We had such a good, small core group of fans, and they were there come hell or high water, through thick and thin. They stuck with us, and then we would gain some traction. And then we would wonder, okay, well, are we going to be around next year? That's a part of business, you know. But by the same token, you got to have a good owner. I had a great owner. I mean, Brad was far and away my most favorite owner that I've worked for because he was very even-keeled. He never got too high. He never got too low. He let me do my job, yet when I would get annoyed, he would listen to me. And I enjoyed that part of it a lot. We became frustrated that we couldn't get more people there.
Yeah.
But because I worked for Brad and the friendship Brad and I had, we got in this dumpster. But if you rewind a year, remember we got on the scissor lift with Jason Morgan and Lou Reese and myself and Brad Fain, and we were up there for I think it was 7 or 11 days. I can't remember.
It was a good chunk in an area, Prescott Valley, where wind is free.
Yes.
So you were rocking and rolling up there, and then you went the opposite way the next year and buried yourselves alive.
Yeah, and that was one of the number of things I've done. I you know, when I look up and the temperature in the dumpster is between 95 and 100, that's when you go, wow, this isn't fun. And the mind isn't made to be buried underneath in a cage, basically. But you know what? It was all good faith. It was all in good fun and good faith. Yeah. And, you know, that's what I liked about Brad. I would come to him with these crazy ideas, and he would go, are we really going to do this? And I would tell him, you know what? It doesn't work unless you're there. Yeah. So he would scratch 2 weeks off of his calendar knowing that that's what he had to do.
And to try and get butts in the seats.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I still think, despite the things that have gone on up there, both with teams and with the building, I still think that there's something there. It's such a good community. It's just unfortunate that people, at least at that time, didn't support it to the level that it needed to be. But, you know, give credit where credit's due. Those that could did. And we had just come through, as you know, a big recession.
Yeah.
And so in a smaller area, I feel like it takes people longer to get back on their feet.
And that area specific, well, I get there's unique things about every area, but that was for the most part, it was a larger retirement community and then working class, you know, blue collar. There wasn't a whole lot of in between. So when the housing market really crashed, probably, and I'm pulling these numbers out of my back pocket, probably about 70% were construction jobs up there. It was a big area for construction. The other portion didn't really need to work. There wasn't any middle of the road, no high tech, really, to speak. So when that housing market crashed, that took a lot of money out of a lot of pockets, and a lot of people had to, you know, look where they were going to spend their money. And unfortunately, going and seeing ice hockey wasn't high in the list for a little bit of time.
No, and I totally agree with you. And, you know, by the time we got to the end of last year, you know, again, we had made some really good strides.
Yeah.
But it was a matter of, from Brad's perspective, do I want to do this again? Can we make it work? Will the community support it? And I just think he was a little hesitant. And they, as a family, have so many other things going on that, to be honest with you, I'm surprised they sustained it as long as they did. And, you know, truth be told, I think they kind of got into it by default, trying to do the right thing for the community and taking over the team, while at the time the former CHL was trying to help them find an ownership group to take it over.
Yeah.
That never happened, and Brad and his family continue to fund it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people may not know that, and I think that's important for people to understand.
And without obviously asking you to speak on behalf of the family or the signature group, all the other things that they're involved in, like you said, are helping keep that whole area sustained with the entertainment district, the retail, all the other developments. So having one other thing that was draining that original pot is something to consider. Yeah, throw stuff all over the place.
Yeah, now, throwing my phone all over.
I want to touch on something that I was leery about bringing up, especially knowing how superstitious and how traditions in sports are really guarded. Athletes, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, being involved with different organizations over the years, athletes are probably the most superstitious folks on the planet.
No doubt.
The first 2 years of the Sun Dogs organization, they went from hard contender at first year to taking the cup, winning a championship in only their second year of existence. And the following year, they signed a contract with me, and we didn't get another championship since. How much stock do you put in me being the bad luck omen?
Oh, there's no doubt.
You were it? Because then I was very surprised with what? How many? 3 championships here in Arizona?
3 in a row.
And you invited me to come out to meet with you guys, and things didn't work out to where I didn't get the contract, but How many games have we lost? Have the Rattlers lost in this arena this season?
We've lost one.
One. Who was photographing on the sidelines that day?
Not you.
It was me.
And he's wearing black.
Am I? Do you want me to leave? Well, we're here now before the first playoff game, right?
Yeah, we got to get you out of here, man.
With Spokane, is that why I had to park on the street today?
It is. That's why we put you on the street. We're trying to give you a hint that, you know what? Get in and out of here.
There's no name tag on the wall this week, so maybe I need to move on out.
Pete doesn't want you to be here. That's why he didn't do that. No, you're right, though. They are superstitious, and that's one of the things I like about sports, too, is that guys that are superstitious, and, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't have anything to do with anything, but it's fun to play the game.
Now, you came in to the Rattlers organization after Sundogs decided to go dark. You came in at a time when they're riding strong. Again, they're a great season so far, entering into the postseason, hopefully with some more games leading up to the Arena Bowl. Has that changed your strategy on how you're rallying your troops in the front office and on the field as far as coming in with such a strong product as opposed to like you have done in the past where you're coming in to rebuild something?
It just makes your job a little easier. You know, it's never easy. There's no doubt about that, but certainly the situation here and taking over here was well beyond what I had experienced probably the last 15 years. And so there's a lot more here to work with. The team has a lot more history. The team has absolute tradition. On the football side, I never have to worry about a thing because Kevin obviously has that under control.
Coach
Guy, he's great. He's, you know, he's a winner. He's demanding, yet he's fair. He's accountable, makes his players accountable. I literally never have to worry about a thing on that side of the business. And then on the business side, we've had really almost, to say a banner year might be a little much, but we've increased our ticket sales by 50%. And when you look at the numbers, you know, that is a big financial number in terms of dollars and cents. And on the corporate sales side, we're up roughly 15%. A lot of that has to do because we win a lot of games, but a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, we work really hard. And I've always believed that that sort of effort produces results. And here it's been easier to see. Obviously, we have more to draw from than we did in Prescott Valley. So there's obviously more opportunity. But by the same token, this is one of the most competitive sports markets in the United States with the four major league teams and the Mercury. And then we have a minor league soccer team as well. So there's a lot to do here on the sports front. There's a lot to do when you look at other opportunities from the zoo to a museum. And so it's competitive, and there's more to battle, but we have more resources.
Yeah. What are some of your short and long-term goals with the Rattlers and with you personally as far as getting your plans to fulfill here?
Well, long-term, short-term on the business would be just making sure that we're building as a league. You know, from a Rattlers perspective, we're in a good position. We're poised to have a great off-season in terms of our sales. And that's what's interesting. A lot of people think when the summer comes, we don't have a job and we just hang out. And
you spend a lot of time on the golf course.
Yeah, exactly.
And drinking Mai Tais.
I wish. That's actually our busy time. It's not that the season's not busy. It's that the off-season is busier. And so that would be the short-term goal, just making sure that as a league we're headed in the right direction. I believe with our new commissioner we are. Long-term would be relatively the same, making sure that we continue to grow the business and then we continue to grow the asset value for the owner who owns the business. And that comes with good partners around the league. And so the teams that have gone by the wayside in Las Vegas and New Orleans did so because the proper ownership wasn't in place. We don't have that concern here. And so we're looking for partners around the United States, or I should say the commissioner is, to come in and do what a lot of owners in our league do, and that is support their team, pay their bills, give those of us that work in the front office and on the football side resources, and give us a chance to succeed. And that's what goes on here, and that's why we do well.
Now, when you talk about the folks in the front office, just like on the field or on the ice, whatever the sport happens to be, you'll see coaches and GMs, if they go from team to team, they'll bring their key players with them, their key staff, lot of times they'll try and recruit that player that they've been able to groom and work with over the years. You did that in the name of our mutual friend, Ashley Stovall. Talk a little bit about Ashley.
She's awesome.
Her role is here. I asked her. She did not want to come over here. She said, I think it's that superstitious thing. She's worried that I'll,
it could be.
I'll cause,
I mean,
cause her to lose
her.
Tonight.
She's a behind-the-scenes gal. She doesn't like her face on TV or her voice on a podcast or radio or anything. No, she's nails for me. I mean, she is kind of a jack-of-all-trades for me. And, you know, she's been with me several years now. And so when you're put in charge of a business, you need a really good right hand. And the thing about Ashley, she's a really good right hand because she knows how I like things done. She knows the repetition and the expeditiousness that I like things done within. And she works like I do. She's diligent in her work. She likes to work. She's a hard worker. And very infrequently does she ever give me anything that's not right on. And so it's a relationship that is a knowledge of one another, and it's something that you just don't find every day. You know, find someone that's willing to work well before others get to work and well after others go to bed. When I'm emailing her at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night asking her questions and I need the answer then, you know, there's not everybody's willing to do that. She is, but she's also very smart. That's what I like about her. She thinks on her feet well. She can handle a situation herself. She doesn't necessarily come calling or running to me asking me what to do. She knows that I give her the autonomy, and most of the time she makes the right decision. And then I can give her a broad-based plan and say, here's what I'm thinking. What are your thoughts? What am I missing? And she'll either draw it back for me and say, whoa, you're way off track, or she'll give me her opinion. And that's what I like about her is When I ask her something, she gives me her true opinion. She's not giving me an answer that she thinks I want to hear, and because of that, that's probably the biggest reason that she has value. She tells me she doesn't like what I do as much as she does tell me that she likes what I do.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, it helps advance our business.
Well, I've sure enjoyed working with her over the years that we did. That we are associated together. She was one of the first ones in the arena and typically one of the last out. So we'll cut this part out because otherwise she might be looking to hit you up for a raise. We don't need to do that. Well, Chris, I really appreciate you taking the time. It is game day before Spokane, so we don't want to take up all of your time. We know you got a ton of things to do, but really quick, let folks know Rattler's website, where they can come and get some info on the 2016 season and their tickets?
Well, the best place to go would be to our website at azrattlers.com, to our Facebook page, or 602-514-TDTD if you're looking for group tickets. Or you can obviously just show up here at the box office and buy them. As you mentioned, tonight's our first home playoff game. We go to San Jose next week, and then assuming we win tonight, and then from there, obviously, the Arena Bowl is yet to be determined in terms of the site. But we'd love support from up north, and we as a family really enjoyed our time there.
And I will tell everybody that coming into this arena, when I first started covering the Sun Dogs in year two, the championship year, and for the year or so after, when we had full arenas and that energy coming through, that's what it reminds me coming in here. The fan base here is dynamite. I've gotten a chance to talk to a few folks throughout the corridors and things on past games, and they're coming from a lot of different areas. It's about an hour and a half or so trip on down for a game. So on the weekends, come on down, grab some lunch, 6 p.m. kickoffs typically. And it's not that bad of a trek from the Prescott area and a great bang for the buck and a lot of fun to watch the Rattlers on the field. Fast-paced.
It is, and with our three children having been to so many sporting events because of my career, they love this game for that reason. Fast-paced.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. So, Chris, thank you very much. I sure appreciate you taking
time.
Thank
you.
Thank you. Well, that was my chat with Chris Presson, the president of the Arizona Rattlers. Hope you enjoyed it. It's still a little bit before game time. He had to obviously take care of a bunch of stuff because he's a big shot. I got to hang out with a big shot today, and that's a rarity when me, Matt Santos of the Mile High Show, gets to hang out with somebody who's actually knows what they're doing, which is, I guess, a kind of a slight to all my past guests, but you guys know who you are. It's, you know, you're a bunch of degenerates. I'm talking about you, Ted Leonard. Yeah, you know, and there's a couple others out. Danny Romero, you know. You guys know who I'm talking about. Bunch of musicians and stuff. Anyway, I enjoyed touching base with Chris. Got to chat with Ashley a little bit before we plugged the mics in. I get to see Chris pretty regular when I'm down here, but usually, like I said, he's out running around, and I'm running around with a camera on my neck, so we don't get a chance to do anything more than a quick wave or a handshake passing each other in the hall. So it was nice to sit down and talk with Chris for a few minutes. Like I'd said, we're getting ready for kickoff with round one of the Arena Football League playoffs. The Arizona Rattlers hosting the Spokane Shock. It should be a good game. Should be like we talked about in the interview. Arena football is so fast paced and exciting, very high scoring, and not to mention, if you can hear that. Yep, I'm watching the cheerleaders practice. So, you know, hey, it's a job, man. It's a rough job being a podcaster at an arena football arena. And part of that tough job is to occasionally watch cheerleaders practice. So I will keep doing that for a minute or two. Maybe three or four. Anyway, it's going to be a good game. Now, one of the standout players this season for the Rattlers will not be on the field tonight, and that is, one, not a good thing for the Rattlers, but a good thing for Mr. A.J. Cruz, because he was picked up by the Chicago Bears just a week or two ago. And in their preseason game this past week, he was able to get his name in the stats by scoring a TD and I think an extra point as well, or two-point conversion, something. I got to double-check my figures there. But A.J. Cruz of the Chicago Bears and formerly of the Arizona Rattlers, best wishes to him. And, again, it's great to see one of our Rattlers move up to the NFL. There's a lot of ceremonial stuff tonight. They are doing a tribute for their booster club as well, and I'm watching the a group of the boosters out here on the field pregame setting up for what they've got to do. Also, Ashley and Chris mentioned to me some of our friends from Prescott Valley will be here at the game. I'm going to try and wander around and talk to a few fans, get some feedback on why they're here. There is a rabid group of fans that come to these games. They've got a great following, so maybe I'll get a chance to talk with a few of those and maybe a couple of our local friends. Lisa La Chapelle Dandos, who is Lisa in the Morning on Magic 99 in Prescott, I think will be here, and a couple of my former cohorts from the Sundogs front office, a couple names were mentioned that they may be here tonight too. So we may see some familiar faces. It'll be fun to touch base with some of those folks and watch the Rattlers down Spokane, hopefully. But as you heard in the interview, bad things happen to sports teams when I am in the room. So hopefully that will not be the case. Oh, the cheerleaders are done, so I can turn off the mic and go back to the media room where there is free water, and I'll drink up my fill.
Why I'm here is because I love this team, and I am the last remaining original Rattler. and I got five rings to prove it, 94, 97, 12, 13, and 14. My official title is Goodwill Ambassador, because a mascot is a geek in a fuzzy Muppet suit that does tricks, and kids love him. I scare kids, I don't do tricks, and I'm ugly. Do I look like a mascot?
You look like a guy who comes riding in each and every day. What are you riding? What are you riding, and what do you do before the game as they're throwing out those fireworks?
There's only one ride, and that is HD 2008 Street Glide. And yes, it is my bike. Yes, I did ride it down here. It's 110 degrees, and I'm going to go get a beer.
So I'm not allowed to ride my Cowie in here. I got a 2000cc Nomad.
I've been looking for a boat anchor. I just got a new boat. Those make great boat anchors.
Give me your name again. Kentrell Williams.
And you're here with your family?
Yeah, we're here with our family doing a fundraiser
for the boys. Now, who's the Bears?
The Chandler Bears is their AYF football team.
Chandler, good. You play? What's your name?
Caden.
Caden. Caden, why are you here? You've been to Rattlers games before? Is this your first Rattlers game?
I don't know.
No?
He was a baby, huh?
You've been here with him before?
Yeah, he was a baby.
Tell me a little bit why you guys come here. How's the entertainment value for the Rattlers?
Oh, it's real good. You know, I like Coach Guy. You know, he's a very good guy. And, you know, it's an entertaining, speed, impactful game, you know.
Now, the Bears, they are youth football. What age?
Youth football. We have 7U and we have a 12U team.
And you're down here raising some money?
We're down here raising money and also helping the Rattlers out, bringing fans to the stands.
You got a league or a team website?
We are, Chandler Bears at Facebook. Chandler Bears at Facebook.com.
I'll find a link and link it to my show. It's the Mile High Show. Here, let me give you this.
Okay.
Check it out.
Thank you.
Now, you coaching?
Yes.
Not playing no more?
No.
No, what'd you play?
I play a receiver and defensive back. Yeah. Yeah.
Suit up. They may need you. They're getting into the postseason here.
Terry Crabtree.
And you guys been season ticket holders this year?
3 years.
3 years?
Yeah.
Why do you come? What's so good about the Rattlers? Why do you enjoy it so much here?
It's football when football is off everywhere else, and it's high-speed football.
High speed, high scoring. You got your whole family here, it looks like?
I bring extra people every week.
Good deal. And this is your third year coming back for a fourth?
Yes.
Good deal. Thanks, guys. Hey, enjoy the game. Hey, you getting a Papa John bobblehead?
No.
Come on, you can put it next to all your dolls.
Let me get all you guys' picture real quick. And then you can get back to spinning, okay?
Come on, a Papa John's bobblehead right next to your dolls at home. It'll look good.
Okay, ready? One, two, three.
That's Matt Hinshaw, the team photographer. He has no sense of humor at all. But, man, that's a dynamite photo. Where do you get that flash? What kind of flash are you using? Where'd you get that flash? That's my flash. That's why it looks so good. Yeah, I'm audio paparazzi. So have you had fun doing the games this year?
I wish this flash worked. I mean, it's such crap.
It's a family podcast, man. Poo-poo. We call it poo-poo. It's called poo-poo, not crap.
Fired.
So have you had fun doing this year?
Of course, Santos. You know that.
Yeah. You know what? You know, it's all about the company you keep. You have a lot more fun when I'm here, right? I like sticking a mic in front of Matt's face. It's the only time he's speechless.
Oh, got it.
Well, that's it. I hope you enjoyed episode. Turns out it's number 36 of the Mile High Show with Chris Presson, the president of the Arizona Rattlers. And we put my theory to the test this week. During the first quarter, the Rattlers were down against the Spokane Shock by, I think it was 14 or so. And I as the second quarter started up, they were still down and struggling, and I left the field and went in the media room and immediately started hearing the fireworks go off, meaning the Rattlers had scored, and I stayed in that media room away from the action, making sure that my bad mojo wouldn't affect the outcome. And the Rattlers took the game over Spokane 72-41, just dominating while I was not on the field. So I was politely asked not to return by a few members of the front office. No, they didn't. I'm just kidding. They just suggested. They didn't ask. They just kind of mentioned, well, maybe you want to go watch some basketball in the future. So I don't know if my media credential will be renewed for the 2016 season. We shall find out in the off season. So best wishes to the Rattlers and their staff as they head to California this coming week to face the San Jose Sabercats in round two of the playoffs for the Arena Football League. They will not be playing in San Jose, as that arena, the home field for the Sabercats, is tied up. They will be running out to Stockton, California. So best wishes to them. Hopefully they will be able to four-peat the Arena Bowl championship. So thank you, Chris Presson and Ashley Stovall, for setting that up, and Peter in the media room for taking care of us, and those fans and folks that took a moment to talk on the mic as we're roaming through the halls. So a lot of fun down there. Check out azrattlers.com for all the info on how to secure tickets for next season. They start pretty reasonable. I think it's like $90 for some of their packages. It's a great arena. It's a lot of fun to watch them play. I know my son likes going down. He's gone down a couple times while I've covered the games, and he has a lot of fun in those stands. They keep the crowd involved and keep the place rocking. It's just a short trip down I-17, about an hour and a half from the Prescott area where the Mile High Show is based. So check them out, have a lot of fun, and check back with us next week and see what's on store for episode 30. It'll be 37, I guess, next week. Thanks for tuning in.
I know this guy, his name is Mick. Now he don't care when he ain't got no chick. And do the shade, the last